Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Sociopath: A Memoir by Patrick Gagné, HHE, is a hybrid of personal narrative, psychological reflection, and public argument about one of the most stigmatized personality disorders. Gagné writes from the position of someone who identifies as a sociopath and has studied clinical psychology, using her own life to examine how fear, guilt, empathy, attachment, and social rules can function differently from conventional expectations. The book follows her effort to understand why she felt emotionally unlike other people, why ordinary moral cues often failed to regulate her behavior, and why available diagnostic language seemed to reduce sociopathy to criminality. Its purpose is not simply confession, nor is it a detached clinical explanation. It asks readers to consider sociopathy as a complex condition experienced on a spectrum, while still preserving the importance of responsibility for harmful conduct. The memoir stands out because it combines unsettling self-disclosure with a sustained challenge to popular images of sociopaths as inevitably violent or irredeemable. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing sociopathy beyond the villain stereotype. A central function of the memoir is to challenge the cultural habit of treating sociopathy as a synonym for monstrosity. Popular culture often associates sociopaths with serial killers, predatory criminals, or cold masterminds, which leaves little room for people who experience sociopathic traits without fitting those extreme images. Gagné's narrative complicates that pattern by presenting sociopathy as an internal condition involving emotional difference, alienation, and difficulty responding to social expectations, not simply a desire to harm others. This reframing matters because stigma can shape both public fear and clinical neglect. If sociopathy is imagined only as danger, then people who recognize these traits in themselves may avoid disclosure, treatment, or honest self-examination. The book does not deny that manipulation, lying, theft, or aggression can be part of the disorder's behavioral expression. Instead, it argues that reducing the entire condition to those behaviors prevents meaningful understanding. The memoir's distinctive contribution is its insistence that moral accountability and humane interpretation can coexist. Readers are asked to see a person whose impulses and emotional equipment differ from the norm, while still evaluating the real effects of her choices on others. Secondly, the experience of emotional absence and the search for stimulation. Gagné repeatedly focuses on the felt experience of emotional absence, not simply being unemotional, but living with a blankness that makes ordinary social life difficult to interpret. Fear, guilt, empathy, and emotional reward are presented as less available or less automatic than they are for most people. This difference has practical consequences. Social rules are often learned through discomfort, shame, anxiety, and concern for others. When those signals are weak, delayed, or absent, ordinary deterrents lose force. The memoir describes this gap as a source of confusion and pressure rather than as freedom. The absence of expected feeling can produce boredom, restlessness, and a drive toward acts that create intensity or relief. This is one reason the book is more psychologically specific than a conventional tale of transgression. It tries to explain how behavior that appears deliberately cruel from the outside may also arise from a disordered relationship to arousal, consequence, and emotional feedback. The point is not to excuse harmful acts, but to clarify why instruction alone may fail when it assumes normal emotional reinforcement. The book, therefore, treats feeling as a regulatory system and sociopathy as partly a problem in how that system fails to guide conduct. Thirdly, diagnostic language and the limits of antisocial personality disorder. Another major theme is the inadequacy Gagné sees in the available clinical categories, especially the way sociopathy has been folded into antisocial personality disorder. ASPD is largely defined through observable behavior, such as deceitfulness, lawbreaking, impulsivity, aggression, and disregard for others. That behavioral emphasis can be useful for diagnosis, risk assessment, and clinical consistency. But the memoir argues that it can also miss the internal experience of people who are not incarcerated or overtly violent, yet still struggle with sociopathic traits. Gagné's frustration is that the label often arrives as a verdict rather than as a pathway to understanding or care. If the diagnosis is treated as untreatable, patients may be left with stigma but little practical guidance. The book also gestures toward older distinctions in psychopathy research, including differences between more constitutional affective deficits and sociopathic patterns shaped by development, adaptation, or environment. Its broader implication is that diagnostic systems must balance public safety, behavioral evidence, and subjective suffering. The memoir is strongest when it shows how a category designed to describe harmful patterns can become too blunt to support people who are seeking self-control, explanation, and a more responsible way to live. Fourthly, love, attachment, and responsibility without conventional empathy. the memoir's treatment of love is important because it directly challenges the assumption that sociopathy makes attachment impossible. Gagne presents love not as proof that she is emotionally typical, but as evidence that the inner life of a sociopath may be more varied than public stereotypes allow. This creates one of the book's central tensions. If someone does not reliably feel guilt or empathy in the usual way, what can still motivate care, loyalty, or restraint? The answer offered is not sentimental. The memoir emphasizes structure, self-knowledge, chosen rules, and the recognition of consequences as substitutes or supports for emotional inhibition. Responsibility becomes less dependent on spontaneous feeling and more dependent on deliberate systems for managing impulses. This is a meaningful distinction because many moral discussions assume that good behavior must arise from the right emotions. Gagne's account suggests that ethical conduct may sometimes require consciously built mechanisms when instinctive empathy is unreliable. At the same time, the book does not portray love as a cure. Attachment may widen motivation and create reasons to change, but it does not erase sociopathic traits. The memoir is compelling because it holds both ideas together. Emotional difference is real, and obligation remains real. Lastly, memoir as self-study rather than clinical case report, sociopath is shaped by the tension between memoir and psychological analysis. Gagne uses her own experience as primary material, but she also places that experience beside clinical concepts, historical neglect, and theories about fear, empathy, and antisocial behavior. This structure gives the book accessibility while allowing it to raise questions normally reserved for professional discussions. The memoir form is crucial because sociopathy is often described from the outside by clinicians, journalists, courts, or victims. Gagne, instead, presents the disorder from the perspective of someone trying to translate her own motives and deficits into language others can understand. That perspective is valuable, but it also requires careful reading. A memoir is not the same as a comprehensive scientific account, and one life cannot define an entire diagnostic population. The book's contribution lies in testimony, not in final authority. Its most productive effect is to make readers examine assumptions about self-report, credibility, harm, and change. Because the narrator openly discusses deception and manipulation as part of her history, the act of reading becomes ethically complex. The memoir does not resolve that complexity. It uses it to show why sociopathy is difficult to understand through either simple condemnation or simple sympathy. In conclusion, Sociopath: A Memoir is best suited for readers interested in psychology, mental health stigma, morally complicated memoirs, and the boundary between diagnosis and identity. Mental health professionals, social workers, educators, and readers who encounter neurodivergent or personality disordered populations may find it useful as a perspective-expanding text. Though it should not be treated as a clinical manual, its practical benefit lies in showing why shame and exclusion can discourage honest self-management, while its intellectual benefit lies in separating explanation from excuse. Gagne asks readers to understand sociopathic traits as real differences in emotional processing, but she also returns to the problem of accountability for lying, stealing, aggression, and manipulation. Compared with many memoirs about mental illness, the book stands out because its subject is not usually granted public sympathy. Compared with popular true crime treatments of sociopathy, it is less interested in spectacle and more interested in interior experience, diagnostic failure, and the possibility of responsible adaptation. Its originality comes from the combination of unsettling confession, clinical vocabulary, and an argument against reducing sociopaths to criminals or fictional villains. Readers who want neat redemption, simple moral categories, or a purely scientific overview may find it uncomfortable. Readers willing to sit with ambiguity will find a distinctive contribution to contemporary writing on personality disorders. If you would like to support HAD, Patrick Gagne, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.